This is ARN.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Good to have you with us. It is Wednesday, the third day of April 2024, and this is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated to scripture, theology, history, current events, and whatever else I want to talk about. We webcast every Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Mountain on X, Facebook, and Rumble. And then the audio podcast is available for download wherever you find fine podcasts. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. Head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. Check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. You are certain to find something worth listening to. I guarantee it. How is everybody this morning? Hope you had a good Tuesday night and got a lot of rest. I got a text from the pastor's wife late last evening that I will be teaching the lesson for the youth group tonight. So I will have to grab my book and go through the lesson and make sure I'm ready to go. That'll be this evening. So if you are a junior high or high school kid in the Frenchtown Valley and you're looking for a youth group to attend, it's Wednesday from 6 to 8. At Frenchtown Community Church. We'd love to have you join us. We have fun. We eat. We study the Bible. We're memorizing a passage from Ephesians 2. Last fall, we memorized Psalm 1 together, which, of course, is difficult for me because I have this quirky dyslexia that doesn't allow me to do rote memory. So I have gotten to the point where I stand there with an open Bible and I help them memorize stuff that I can't memorize. And it is frustrating. I admit that it is frustrating. But that's just the way of the world, is it not? There's always going to be something that's going to frustrate you. But, you know, that's okay. Coffee. Love coffee. All right. Let's see. What do we got coming up today? We have scripture readings from the Legacy Standard Bible. We have prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. We have a reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. And then our study Bible level Bible study of Deuteronomy continues. We are in Deuteronomy 32. We are getting awfully close to the end of this book, because it ends in Deuteronomy 34. So we are getting very close to the end of Deuteronomy. We will be moving from Deuteronomy to Isaiah. We're kind of going through the Old Testament books that are quoted the most in the New Testament. Obviously, number one is the Psalms. We're not doing a study Bible level Bible study of the Psalms right now. May do that in the future. But we're going through the books other than the Psalms that are quoted the most often. And that would be Deuteronomy and Isaiah are the two. The Psalms, Deuteronomy, and Isaiah are the three most quoted Old Testament books in the New Testament. And so these are a good place for us to look as we endeavor to understand God's word together. All right, let us begin, as is our practice, with the prayer of confession from the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Grant to your faithful people, merciful Lord, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now our prayer for the reading of the Word. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and the comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. All right, our scripture readings today are Exodus 20 and Psalm 70. Exodus 20. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them nor serve them, for I, Yahweh, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of Yahweh your God in vain, for Yahweh will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of Yahweh your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female slave, or your cattle, or your sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore Yahweh blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which Yahweh your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male slave, or his female slave, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountains smoking, and the people perceived it, and they shook and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, Speak to us yourself, and we will listen, but let not God speak to us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may be with you, so that you may not sin. So the people stood at a distance, but Moses came near the dense gloom where God was. Then Yahweh said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, You yourselves have seen that I have spoken to you from heaven. You shall not make other gods beside me, gods of silver or gods of gold, you shall not make for yourselves. You shall make an altar of earth for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offering and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I cause my name to be remembered, I will come to you and bless you. And if you make an altar of stone for me, you shall not build it of cut stones. For if you wield your tool on it, you will profane it. And you shall not go up by steps to my altar, so that your nakedness will not be exposed on it. And now, Psalm 70. The 70th Psalm. For the choir director of David, to bring remembrance. O God, hasten to deliver me. O Yahweh, hasten to my help. Let those be ashamed and humiliated who seek my life. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in evil against me. Let those turn back because of their shame who say, Aha, aha. Let those be joyful and glad in you, all who seek you. And let them say continually, let God be magnified, those who love your salvation. But I am afflicted and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my protector. O Yahweh, do not delay. This is the word of the Lord. And now our reading from Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. Today's devotional is entitled, Faith Out of Desperation. And they came to him and woke him, saying, Save us, Lord, we are perishing. He said to them, Why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Matthew 8, 25 and 26. Dr. MacArthur writes, Sometimes God has to bring us to a point of desperate need before he can get us to turn to him. That's what happened to the disciples when the storm was about to swamp their boat. They had no other human solutions for their emergency and had to come to Jesus with their need. If he could cleanse lepers and heal every other sort of disease, maybe he could control nature. Even the greatest believers in redemptive history have wavered in their faith in the most difficult circumstances. The psalmist asked, Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Psalm 10, verse 1. See also Psalm 44, verses 22 and 23. Isaiah even wondered why God seemed not able to help his people. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the days of old, the generations of long ago. Isaiah 51, 9. Much like the disciples on the lake, the prophet could not see why God was asleep when his people were dying. God wants people to turn to him, especially for salvation when it's a matter of spiritual life and death. We can often get out of dire situations involving finances, health, or family relations without the Lord's direct intervention. But when it comes to spiritual salvation, there is no other resource but God. After we are saved, the Father still wants to hear from us. In that way, we show we have not forgotten him, even in desperate circumstances. Ask yourself, what do we forget on ordinary days? Times when we feel like we can manage well enough on our own without God's help or provision. What would desperate faith look like on a typical, average day? Okay, we are returning to our study Bible level Bible study. We are in Deuteronomy 32. And up to that, we looked at verses 1 through 14 yesterday. Actually, beginning in chapter 31, verse 30, which is the introduction to the song, even though the song itself starts in verse 1 of 32. We looked at those first four verses, and we saw praise offered to God. We saw Israel being decried for being unfaithful. And then we remembered all the things that God had done for Israel. And so this has been, you know, everything God has done to Israel up to this point. And then verse 15 of this song turns again to Israel's unfaithfulness. So we're contrasting so far a faithful God and an unfaithful people. Beginning in verse 15, we read, But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat and thick and sleek. Then he abandoned God who made him and treated the rock of his salvation with wicked foolishness. They made him jealous with strange gods. With abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods whom they have not known, new gods who came lately, whom your fathers did not dread. You neglected the rock who begot you. You forgot the God who brought you forth. Now it begins with this word Jeshurun, or name Jeshurun. The word literally means the upright one. And it's used here, it's a name for Israel, but it's used here sarcastically because they're not being upright. You know. The upright one grew fat and kicked. you grew fat, thick, and sleek. Now, the fact that he said Jeshurun grew fat and kicked, you grew fat, thick, and sleek, there's no question who he's talking about, because he's addressing the people of Israel, and here he is calling them the upright one, but it's definitely sarcastic, because they are not upright in their behavior. Then he, going back to the third person, he abandoned God who made him and treated the rock of his salvation with wicked foolishness. So here we've just had this recitation of all that God had done for Israel, that he had brought them out of Egypt, that he had fed them in the wilderness, that he had watched over them and guided them and provided them all the days that they were in the wilderness, and they are being foolish towards God. How sad, how absolutely sad that they turned away from God. But the fact is, we're the same way. If we do not stay focused on God, we quickly drift away into other things. And it takes diligent effort to maintain focus on God. That's something that most people don't want to think about. But, Paul said, study to show yourself approved. Study is effort. He compared the Christian life with an athlete in training or a soldier in training, where you are spending the vast majority of your time preparing your body for the competition to come. You're working out, you're running, you're doing all of these things that are required to keep your body in shape for the physical endeavors that are ahead. That's how Paul compares the Christian life. So the Christian should be spending his time preparing his mind and his soul for the spiritual endeavors that are ahead. Romans 12 says, that we are to renew our minds. We do that by studying the Word of God. And being in the Word of God daily is so important to keep us focused. You can't slack off. I mean, if you're an athlete training for the Olympics and you slack off, your future doesn't look good. Your chances in the competition aren't great. I think about some football players that I have watched that have made it to the NFL, and they have these short careers because once they got there, they started enjoying the life and the money and took their eyes off of playing football. And this is not people that were injured. This is just people that all of a sudden their performance drops. And it's not because everybody else is that much better. It's because, you'll see a really good rookie year or first couple of years, and then they start enjoying the success and they take their eyes off of why they're there, and they start getting busy with other things, and their performance as football players slacks off. And very soon they're no longer professional football players. And so it's important to stay in training. Just like if you look at a group of soldiers, they spend all their time training for battle. They're very, very rarely are they in battle, but they're ready for battle because they spend all their time training. Whether it's a fighter pilot or a bomber pilot or a soldier in the trenches, they spend all their time learning their craft so that when the battle comes, they're ready. Athletes spend all their time training their bodies so that when the game starts, when the race starts, they're ready to compete. And that's the Christian life. The Israelites treated the rock of their salvation with foolishness because they didn't stay focused on God. Indeed, they started worshiping other gods. They made him jealous with strange gods, with abominations. They provoked him to anger. We just read the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. You will have no other gods before me. Do not make for yourself gods of silver or gold. Don't worship strange gods. Don't worship other gods that aren't gods at all. In fact, verse 17 tells us exactly what they are. They sacrificed to demons who were not God. I remember listening to John MacArthur many years ago talking about what Satan does in the world. And what he pointed out was, of course, one thing we need to realize, Satan is not omnipresent and Satan is not omniscient. Satan is not everywhere at once. Only God is omnipresent. Satan does not have all knowledge. Only God is omniscient. So Satan is limited. He is a creature. He can only be one place at one time. Satan, very rarely, and even his demons, are very rarely worried about tempting individuals into sin. They don't have to. As Peter says, it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life that draws us into sin. But what Satan is concerned with, what he spends his time on, and I believe that Dr. MacArthur is right in this, what Satan is spending his time on is false religion. Satan spends his time on creating false belief systems that draw people away from God, that divert their attention from God, that distort their belief in God, so that they will not hear and believe and repent and be saved. And that's where he is spending his time, which is why sacrificing to false gods is sacrificing to demons. Paul says the same thing in his letters as well. So these are false gods. They are demonic in origin. Paul refers to, doctrines of demons. These false beliefs are demonic in origin. They sacrifice to demons who are not God, to gods they have not known, new gods who came lately. So, novel new religions attract attention. Whom your fathers did not dread. These are not the, it's new novel religions. It's not even old traditional false religions. The quest for novelty in the human heart is one of the things that is used by Satan to draw us away from God. Something new, something shiny, something bright. Oh, look, a new idea, a new thought, a new false god. Of course, they don't identify it as a false god, but there it is. And in doing this, we see they neglect the rock who begot you and forgot the God who brought you forth. By being drawn into these false gods, it's foolishness. And because of this, God is going to judge Israel. God's going to judge mankind. You know, Israel is a microcosm of God, of mankind. Israel is an example to us of a people greatly blessed by God who turned their back on him, the United States. Greatly blessed, yet abandoning God, turning to false religion, worshiping the creature rather than the creator, ultimately worshiping ourselves and our own desires and our own wants, opposed to worshiping God and what he says and what he wants. And this is foolishness. See that back up in verse 15. This is treating God with wicked foolishness. You know, Psalms and Proverbs both say the fool says in his heart there is no God. In verse 19, and Yahweh saw this and spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and daughters. Then he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a perverse generation, sons in whom is no faithfulness. They have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. So I will make them jealous with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a wickedly foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger, and it burns to the lowest part of Sheol, and it consumes the earth with its produce, and it sets on fire the foundations of the mountains. Never think that God does not get angry. God, when we say that God has no passions, he's without part or passion, we're not saying that God doesn't have emotions. What we're saying is that God's emotions do not drive him. You know, when we get emotional, we lose self-control. You know, how often have you said something you wished you hadn't said, but you were angry? Because in your emotion, you lost your self-control. God's emotions are firmly in his control, but he has them, and he gets angry at wickedness, which is why he judges wickedness. He's saying here that because they rejected God, God spurns them because his sons and daughters, the nation of Israel, provoked him. They did what he said not to do. And then verses 20 through 22, Moses is quoting from God himself. I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be. For they are a perverse generation, sons in whom there is no faithfulness. Faithfulness, being true, holding to your word, holding to your convictions, holding to your beliefs, being faithful. You know, the faithful man doesn't abandon his God. Faithful man doesn't abandon his friends. A faithful man doesn't abandon his family. Faithfulness is one of those qualities that God desires in his people. Stand firm. Be faithful. Be true. You know, keep your word. Be honest and upright. And do that which you know you ought to do. Faithfulness. But they were not faithful. There was no faithfulness in Israel. And because of that, they made me jealous with what is not God. They were worshiping false gods. I mean, the Ten Commandments said, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Don't worship other gods, because I will react to that. They have provoked me to anger with their idols, worshiping these false gods. So I will make them jealous with those who are not a people. Paul takes this in Romans 10 and applies it to the Gentile nations whom were being brought into the church. That one of the reasons, according to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10, one of the reasons for God's salvation of Gentiles is to make Israel jealous, because a saved Gentile has a true relationship with God, whereas a lost Israelite has no relationship with God. And so they get jealous. This is part of what God has done to Israel by making them jealous with those who were not a people, those who were not a nation. So, because Israel was worshiping not God, God turned to not Israel. And so he's going to make Israel jealous. And he's going to provoke them to anger with a wickedly foolish nation. He's going to save those who were not given all the gifts of Israel, who had been worshiping false gods before hearing the word of the Lord. He's saving people out of idolatry all the time. What the Israelites tend to forget is that he saved Abraham out of idolatry. God saves sinners. And so this is part of God's judgment on Israel, the saving of the Gentile nations. Now, it's also fulfillment of his promise to Abraham. You know, he told him, in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So but it can have a dual purpose. he's fulfilling his promise to Israel, or to Abraham, while also provoking Israel by saving Gentiles. He says, "For a fire is kindled in my anger, and it burns to the lowest part of Sheol, and it consumes the earth with its produce, and it sets on fire the foundations of the mountains." Once the fire of God's anger is kindled, the MacArthur Study Bible note says, it knew no limits in its destructive force, reaching to even those in the grave, an indication of God's eternal judgment against those who oppose him. So he says the fire goes to the lowest part of Sheol. Sheol is the Hebrew equivalent of Hades. It is the place of the dead. Not eternal hell, not yet. This is the place of the dead, where they're awaiting the eternal hell. Remember, nobody's in the lake of fire yet. That takes place in the beginning of Revelation 20, when the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. Then at the end of the millennium, after the millennium, when the great white throne judgment, when all the dead, great and small, stand before the throne of God, those whose names are not found written in the book of life, those who are not in Christ, are cast into the lake of fire to suffer for eternity. So this is, nobody's in hell yet, but it's coming. And those who are dead, who died apart from Christ, they don't get a second chance. They're headed for the lake of fire. They're just not there yet. But that fire burns all the way down to the deepest part of the grave. It consumes the earth. It sets fire to the foundations of the mountains. This is not, necessarily a physical calamity. It can be. God's anger does express itself in physical calamity, in natural disasters. You read through the history of Israel, and you had lots of, famines and also, famines and invasions and droughts and all of these things, which were God's judgment upon Israel. And indeed, all of these events are still God's judgment on the earth. Now, what we can't do, unless there is a direct cause and effect between a sinful behavior and a calamitous event or condition, for example, a person driving drunk wrecks their car and is killed or injured, or kills or injures someone else. That is a direct cause and effect between a sin and a consequence. And apart from conditions like that, we cannot really say why a particular natural disaster befell a particular people. Why did this earthquake happen here and now? And, what sin of these people is being judged? We don't know. Why did this tornado go through this part of town and not that part of town? We don't know. God has a purpose in it. And part of that purpose is judgment. But we can't say this is why. Why was New Orleans hit with Katrina, but nothing's happened to Las Vegas? Las Vegas is every bit as wicked, if not more, than New Orleans, as far as cities go. I remember Pat Robertson on the 700 Club when there was the earthquake in Haiti back in the 90s. And he goes on the air and says that the reason that the earthquake hit Haiti was back in the 1700s. The people of Haiti made a pact with the devil to kick the French colonialists out. And that's why the earthquake in the 1990s took place. Apart from direct revelation from God, we can't know that. And God wasn't talking to Pat Robertson, no matter what he said. You can't say that. You don't know. You can't say why Katrina hit New Orleans specifically. But all natural disasters fall upon a sinful earth and are God's judgment. So we see here in this that the earth itself is affected by God's anger. The fire that is kindled in his anger burns the earth with its produce. So, crops, this is famine, sets fire to the foundations of the mountains. It goes deep. So we'll pick up next week in verse 23, but look at the seriousness of provoking God to anger, of worshiping other gods, of turning away from the one true God and treating him with foolishness. It ought not be, which is why we call for sinners to repent and we call for believers to be faithful. Don't turn away from God. Don't treat him with foolishness. Because if you do, his judgment will fall. And that is not what you want at all. All right, let us now recite our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now the collect for Wednesday of Easter week. Almighty and most merciful God, it is only by your grace that your faithful people offer you true and laudable service. Grant that we may run without stumbling to obtain your heavenly promises. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now the collect for grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to the beginning of this day. Defend us by your mighty power, that we may not fall into sin nor run into any danger, and that guided by your Spirit we may do what is righteous in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And for the unrepentant we pray. Merciful God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they should turn to you and live. And through your only Son, you have revealed yourself as the God who pardons iniquity. Have mercy on the unrepentant and those who do not believe. Awaken in them by your word and Holy Spirit a deep sense of their sinfulness and peril. Take from them all ignorance, hardness of heart, and contempt of your word. Grant them to know and feel that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved, but only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so bring them home and number them among your children, that they may be yours forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. All right, folks, that is Squirrel Chatter for this Wednesday, the third day of April. I wish you the very best of days. We're halfway through the week. Pray for me as I quickly review and prepare for the youth group lesson tonight, which up until bedtime last night, I did not know I was doing. But I got time today. It'll work out well. Looking forward to being there. Again, if you're in the Frenchtown Valley or if you have a kid in Frenchtown who is looking for a youth group, even Missoula, come on out. We'd love to have you come and study the word with us, have fun, share a meal, get to know us, let us get to know you. It's always a good time. So as you go through the day, remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.